Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
A recent news item says this: evangelicals criticize Cantor's claim that the DREAM Act is biblical. This is listed in Breitbart's online source there, breitbart.com. And it just came out the other day. It's listed as June 5th. And it says this: on Wednesday, two prominent evangelical Christians criticized House Majority Leader Eric Cantor's assertion that the DREAM Act, which would grant citizenship to children of illegal aliens, is, quote, biblical, unquote. Cantor, who has received criticism for his recent claims that he opposes amnesty for illegal aliens from longshot challenger David Bratt, made the remarks Monday on the John Fredericks radio program. Quote, declaring something biblical is to say that it is clear, unequivocal teaching, unquote, Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, told Breitbart News on Wednesday, quote, the DREAM Act, like most legislation, is more complicated. No children are not morally responsible for their parents' transgressions, but should children benefit from their parents' transgression? The intent might be lofty, but what are the unintended consequences, unquote, Tooley asked. Well, I think he makes a great point. Mark Tooley does. He makes a great point that, again, unintended consequences. This is what we see coming out of Washington so often. They don't seem to think through the ramifications of what is taking place. As you know, the issue related to illegal immigration is huge for our country right now. We've got an issue that's taking place right now where hordes of individuals, mostly children, are streaming over the border, and the U.S. government has got itself now into a crisis. They don't know where to house these children or how to handle the situation. And it seems to be a crisis of its own making, at least the making of many of the leadership in Washington on both the Democratic and Republican side. And so here to talk about this issue and what we should do about this issue is the person that was mentioned in this article that I just read, Mark Tooley, who is the president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy. Mark, it's great to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hey, great to be with you.
Well, Mark, let's talk about this this issue, the DREAM Act, and what that means. First of all, why don't we explain that to the listening audience? And then what's going on in Washington with seeming to look the other way while the DREAM Act is virtually being put in place?
Well, the DREAM Act is essentially legalization light in that it would attempt to legalize not the parents, but the children of illegal immigrants, saying that they are not themselves responsible for the illegal acts that their parents committed. Therefore, why should they be held responsible for them? So essentially, it would put them in the pipe towards citizenship and towards all the rights and benefits of a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm. And what people, I don't think, understand with this is obviously this is going to then involve not just the children becoming citizens, but if they're here and the children are here without their guardians or their parents along with them, at some point in time, these two groups are going to have to be reunited. So it's probably going to be at least a gateway to bringing the parents into citizenship as well. Is that correct?
Oh, of course, and that's why it's somewhat disingenuous. And, of course, also, you know, what are the standards going to be in terms of how do you prove or claim that you were brought here as a child? And then secondarily, as you point out, of course, once the one member of the family gains access to U.S. citizenship, then obviously they're going to bring other members of their family into that process. So it's just sort of a backdoor mechanism for offering a wider legalization process.
Now, the broader discussion about immigration and so forth, even the DREAM Act, has been taking place for many years, and people thought, well, you know, it's kind of on the back burner and is probably not going to be dealt with. The proposed legislation is not going to be voted on until after the midterm election. But recently, something has taken place, and what has taken place is this flood of especially young people, children even, that are now appearing at the border, or actually coming across the border, and then how they're being dealt with by the federal government and ICE and so forth. Speak a little bit about what's taking place there, and why do you think this is happening all of a sudden?
Well, seemingly, just the rhetoric alone about possibly implementing something along the lines of the DREAM Act, either legislatively or perhaps even unilaterally by the administration, that rhetoric is spreading as a rumor, understandably, among many south of the border, and therefore encouraging them to come over and to be in place to potentially exploit that new policy or that new legislation. And so once more, it's a result of or an illustration of the unintended consequences of something that may sound noble and whose intent may be, in fact, noble. But any time the government is extending new benefits, obviously there are going to be those who exploit them to the detriment of others. And I think that Christians especially should be discerning about that and to be wary of claims that the extension of new government benefits will be a complete total good for society and for the recipients, and instead to be more discerning about what the unintended consequences likely will be and who will be hurt by them.
Hmm. So the rhetoric of the Obama administration and the rhetoric of President Obama himself and the lack of enforcement at the border has basically created this crisis that now we've got even children coming over, making this trek and then coming over the border. And now we've got a real, it's switching now from an immigration crisis to a humanitarian crisis. We seem to have this crisis on our hand. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I would especially focus attention on the church groups that have been backing this and their own role in that and their portrayal of not just DREAM Act legislation, but a total legalization process as a biblical and Christian imperative. And similarly, they are not even acknowledging the potential or even likely unintended consequences of what they're advocating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to make a segue to that as well. Cantor here says, Eric Cantor, of course, is saying that, you know, this is biblical. Is it biblical?
I think that people should be very, very cautious about claiming particular political legislation is biblical or unbiblical. There are some moral issues that the Bible and Christian tradition speak fairly directly. I think we would agree that there's a clear definition of marriage, for example, and there's a clear affirmation of the sanctity of all human life, for example. But much of the rest of politics are really issues that even Orthodox Christians can and do disagree about, and I think that led to that immigration certainly falls into that category. So the particular argument that legalization or that the DREAM Act in particular would be biblical, once again, I think that discerning Christians should step back and take a closer look at that kind of claim.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that it's an argument from silence, that the Scripture doesn't specifically speak about U.S. immigration, of course, and therefore, you know, that him saying that it's biblical is just an argument from silence?
Well, I think in particular he was addressing DREAM Act type legislation that would legalize the children of illegal immigrants, and his argument that it was biblical was based on the premise, of course, that children should not be held morally responsible for what wherever their parents have done wrong, and that is true. But likewise, as you read from my quote, the children should not be the beneficiaries of whatever transgressions their parents have committed. And also, once again, what are the unintended consequences? very likely not the church supporters of DREAM Act type legislation did not envision that just talking about it would encourage children to start running across the border. But here we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, are there other biblical principles? Eric Cantor seems to be focusing on the principle of Christian compassion, and we certainly agree with that. But are there other principles, biblical principles, that need to be brought to bear, principles such as the right of personal property that seems to be clearly articulated in the scriptures, or the right about thou shalt not steal? So if you were participating in benefits or put yourself in a position to receive those benefits that other people have paid for and paid into to receive, is that what you're alluding to, that there's different types of principles in the Word of God that must be brought to bear, and it's more complicated in that sense?
Well, that's exactly right, and I'm afraid that more and more evangelicals are falling, unknowingly, but nonetheless falling into a more social gospel tradition that for the last 100 years has sort of reflexively declared, well, if there's a human need, therefore the federal government should respond immediately with some new benefit, cash benefit, or some other right to address that human need. And, of course, we've seen the consequences of that kind of reflexive policy over the last 50 or 60 years with the growth and expansion of the social welfare state, and how literally that has destroyed millions of lives and created a whole subculture of dependency and family breakdown and increased crime and urban decay and so forth and so on. And once again, they seem to be applying that same kind of naivete to the immigration debate. So as you mentioned, there are other principles, Christian biblical principles, that should be brought into play when addressing the issue of immigration. You've mentioned some of them. Another key principle is the fact that the state was not ordained, as far as we can tell from the scriptures and Christian tradition, just to extend benefits and entitlements, but rather the state's primary responsibility is to uphold order and to punish those who violate the law. And any kind of government, any kind of nation cannot function if it has de facto open borders, and therefore there has to be a process of border security and deportation and incarceration, all of which the religious advocates of so-called immigration reform seem at best very uncomfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, there's an entire group that has been formed. You mentioned evangelicals and the way that they should be thinking about this, but we have the Evangelical Immigration Table, which I don't think many of our listeners are aware of, that is actually sponsored. There's a little bit of a chain here of connection, but it is ultimately sponsored by George Soros and other groups like that. And in the Evangelical Immigration Table, of course, we have well-known evangelicals that are either naive as to what is taking place or have been duped into believing that this is a biblical position to push for these open borders, basically. For instance, just the other day, Lynn Hybels, who was the co-founder of the Willow Creek Community Church, was listed as being the front person for that group, to speak for them, the spokesperson. So, of course, her husband, Bill Hybels, is well known, especially up in the Chicago area and so forth, mega church leader. We also have Russell Moore, who with the SBC, one of the leaders there in the SBC, is part of that evangelical immigration table. What would your message be to these evangelicals who have teamed up with a group like this, which basically is dealing with going to try to push some sort of an open borders approach upon the country?
Well, there are lots of good and wonderful evangelical leaders and others who are active with this effort, and no doubt they are sincere and want what's just and noble and good. I would challenge them to think through their involvement with the Evangelical Immigration Table. First, for the church leaders and groups that are a part of it, are you really accurately representing your own constituency? I think that polls that dig deeply show that, in fact, evangelicals are, of all the religious demographic groups in America, the most skeptical of sort of sweeping legalization proposals. And so when evangelicals claim to speak for American evangelicals, I think that needs to be looked at with some skepticism. Secondly, of course, as we've discussed, is immigration an issue to which the Bible and the Christian tradition speak very directly and clearly on the same level of other moral issues? And if not, then should the institutional church be involved in lobbying for this type of legislation? Third, of course, as you mentioned, there is the issue of the evangelical immigration table not being legally a group on its own, but rather it's a program of the National Immigration Forum, which is a secular group funded by left-wing philanthropies, including George Soros. So you have that affiliation. And then finally, is what they're advocating good policy, and would it actually help people? And what about the impact on Americans, including legal immigrants who are already here, who are at the bottom of the income pay scale and whose wages are affected very directly by increased immigration, legal and illegal? Those people don't seem to register a lot in terms of the interest level of those who are pushing for this kind of legislation.
Mm-hmm. So it's the approach that you're talking about, a much more comprehensive approach to thinking through the issue biblically, is actually much more compassionate than the soundbite approach. You know, hey, we've got children at the border, let's do something, let's just let them in and give them all the benefits. It actually ends up being much more compassionate than that kind of a knee-jerk approach that we're seeing from some of the leadership, even the GOP leadership in this country.
Well, I think so, and I would liken it to sort of the automatic social welfareism of humanitarians over the last half century, as we discussed. If there are poor people in America, then of course we need to help them by increasing federal government benefits, and if you're skeptical of that, then therefore you're lacking in compassion towards poor people. Well, that's a very superficial way of looking at the poverty, and we've seen the consequences of that kind of superficiality. I would also point out, once again, very sincerely, that many evangelical leaders have jumped aboard the legalization proposal because they think this is an effective way evangelistically to appeal to Hispanics in America. And, of course, polls show that maybe 20% of U.S. Hispanics are now evangelical, and a lot of the growth in the evangelical church comes from Hispanics, and of course that's wonderful and should be affirmed, and the church should always be reaching out to every group, no matter what their status is, with the word of the gospel. But there's very little evidence that Hispanics or any group anywhere are particularly attracted to any church because of its political advocacy, and in fact, to my knowledge, the vast majority of Hispanic congregations are overwhelmingly non-political and not directly involved in advocacy themselves. So it simply tends to be white Anglo church leaders who think that they will attract support from Hispanics by advocating on this issue, but there's very little evidence for it.
Mm. Mark, what is the thinking of the GOP on this issue? Many people are talking about that the groups that are coming in, the folks that are coming in, 8 out of 10 of them would vote for the Democratic Party because in the Democratic Party there's much more of this willingness for the statism that you were just talking about, where the state takes care of everything. And, of course, if you're getting money through the state and support through the state, then you're going to be much more likely to vote for the candidates that are saying they go ahead and support that and will provide that. So it could be, you know, virtually the death of the Republican Party. What then is the motivation for them to go ahead and get on board with this from a political standpoint? Any idea?
Well, I imagine it's a lot of the same type thinking that is going on among some of the churches, in that Hispanics are the rising demographic, and therefore if we are to appeal to them, we have to get ahead of the curve and be out front on this issue, as though this is sort of the magical potion that will unlock the mystery of attracting Hispanic support. And once again, there's not a lot of polling to prove that or to give evidence of it. And I hope that I would think that both politicians and churches should be a little more discerning and to understand that Hispanic Americans, like all of us, are complicated and multifaceted, and their loyalties can't be won just by pushing a single button.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, where would you point people? They're listening to the broadcast today and they're saying, you know, I like what you guys are saying on this immigration issue, especially from an evangelical standpoint about how we should think through this and all the ramifications of it, and compare all of that with what the scripture has to say as well. Obviously, we can point people out to your website there at the Institute on Religion and Democracy. By the way, that website is www.theird.org. So people can go out there. But is there other places that we can go to hear this same type of message and to, learn more about how to articulate this message in our society today?
Well, certainly check out our own website. There's also a group called Evangelicals for Biblical Immigration that has been expressing reservations about the evangelical immigration table, so you can find them on the internet and on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had Kelly Monroe Kohlberg on the program before. She was
yeah.
the head of Veritas Forum and so forth, and also an author of a book called Finding God at Harvard. I'll give her their website as well, although it doesn't seem to be updated as often as I wish it was. I know they don't have the money that George Soros has for the other groups, so they're at a little bit of
a... apply for a grant, don't they?
It's at a little bit of a disadvantage, apparently. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this article and all of the issues surrounding immigration. We really appreciate you doing so.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. That was Mark Tooley. And Mark, as I pointed out at the top of the broadcast, he's the president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy. You can go out to their webpage to find out more about Mark and about what they write on a number of different issues out there. Again, their webpage is www.theird. So it's theird.org. And so you can go out to their webpage to find out more there, and you'll find out more about Mark. They're writing about, of course, about immigration, but they're also writing about economics and other aspects of what's taking place in our society today, and doing so from a religious viewpoint. They're looking at it from a number of different aspects. Also, the article that I was referring to, and actually not just that article, but many others along this same line appear out there as well. But that was out on Breitbart.com. Seems that Breitbart has really taken an interest in this subject as well. And so they've got a number of articles out there related to evangelicals and the immigration issue. And they've got a couple associated articles that talk about Kelly Monroe Kohlberg, as I was talking about. The name of that group is called Evangelicals for Biblical Immigration. Evangelicals for Biblical Immigration. And the president of that group is Kelly Monroe Kohlberg. Her last name is spelled K-U-L-L-B-E-R-G. So that's K-U-L-L-B-E-R-G. Kelly Monroe Kohlberg. And she's the founder of what's called Veritas Forum. It's a group that meets on college campuses. I think it started at Harvard Law School, and then it spread to other college campuses across the country. And so they have a number of different chapters. But her group is called Veritas Forum, and she wrote a book called Finding God at Harvard. And so I had her on the program. You can look up the interviews that I did with her out on our website at www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. The group that she created in order to talk specifically about the issue of immigration from an evangelical standpoint is called Evangelicals for Biblical Immigration, and that's the website as well. So it's www.evangelicalsforbiblicalimmigration.com, and you can go out there and read what she has written out there. One of the interesting items, and I've talked about this before on the broadcast, but there's an author, James Hoffmeyer, who has done work in the Old Testament to look at the difference between strangers and foreigners and aliens and so forth. When you get somebody like Eric Cantor, who, you know, just glibly says that what's happening today with the Dream Act is biblical, he's not really looking at what the biblical texts have to say about this. He's just giving an opinion on this based upon compassion. But Hoffmeyer actually looks at those words in great depth, and he notices a nuance of difference between them. One group was allowed in by the government, but not given all of the benefits, kind of a guest visa type thing. It's a very interesting look at the scriptures. And again, you can find that out on Evangelicals for Biblical Immigration. Of course, vote today. Lindsey Graham believes in this open door policy, and we need to vote against him today in the election here in South Carolina in the GOP. We'll be back next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button. You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.